KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
You're not Caleb.
Wait, yeah, I'm not. No.
Although not. Your backpack is in Caleb's seat.
It's true. it likes it there. That's just nice. For now, though. But in all seriousness, I am Jason.
That's right.
My backpack is not Caleb either.
So. No. It's filling in for Caleb tonight.
Yes.
So, backpack, how you doing? Wonderful.
Yes.
Yes. That's that's amazing.
That's great.
Wow, you don't say. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
You always know how to make great radio. Backpack.
Backpack. Maybe we should have you on more.
Yeah, I think we should.
Maybe. Well, we'll just have to, you know, I don't know how Caleb will feel about that, but hey, you know, he's not here to vote, so.
Yeah, it's true, and Backpack might be a little bit more expensive than Caleb, too.
Ooh, that's true.
He's going to have to go through negotiations with him and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, because Caleb is free, so...
Backpack doesn't come cheap.
Nope. Not at all. But yes, Caleb is out celebrating a birthday with a special someone.
Yeah.
He happens to know, so...
Right.
A shout-out happy birthday to that special someone.
Shout.
Out. Happy...
Yes. Birthday?
You're supposed to say birthday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if that was too much information.
And I went out and then.
Okay.
See.
Okay.
Anyway.
We'll plan it better next time.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah. When Caleb's out here and the backpack has to fill in again.
Right.
Thank you, backpack, for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we still just, even though we are Caleb short, we still have a wonderful show for you tonight. If you are unfamiliar with our show, we are Geek Center Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara. Talk about entertainment, tech stuff, video games, comic books, all that stuff.
Yeah, whole schmear.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. So, or as much as we can within the time frame we are allotted.
Of course.
Yes. So anyway, we like to start off the show with a little bit of geek talk. This is where we just kind of talk about what we've been doing since last we spoke. It's a little bit different since we actually saw each other not that long ago.
That's true. So,
but, you know, just it's kind of in general.
It feels odd, like, yeah. Actually having hangout time in between.
Yeah.
But yeah, me personally, I've been advancing my prowess in World of Tanks. Very important stuff.
Spoke about that game last week,
remember. Yeah, last week I was still in like complete and total noob territory.
Okay.
This week I have the odd like top of the team win very rarely, but every once in a while.
Okay.
So it's getting into the territory where I get like the really good feeling every once in a while from just smearing the floor with a bunch of crazy 360 players.
Nice.
I'm just calling them 360. I'd have no idea. I mean, I'm just assuming because they seem to know strategies and things.
Okay. But there is no, I can't remember if we asked this last week, but there is no indication of like when you're playing.
Not that I can tell. Okay. I'll have to look into it a little bit more. I'm sure there are many more secrets in the World of Tanks for me to unravel. Like I found an extra little aiming button, and that changed the entire game for me.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, I know. It's apparently you can aim like two different ways. It's crazy stuff. But yeah, very useful being able to aim over long distances.
Yeah, I would think so. Since you generally don't want to get like super close up with a tank.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of pulled the classic thing. I decided to run before I walked and just jumped directly into the multiplayer gaming before doing any sort of practice stuff and whatnot. So I'm sure that would have actually walked me through important things like being able to aim.
Oh, okay. But, you just know, went right in.
Exactly. You know what? Ain't nobody got time for that.
Tutorial dash.
Right.
Tutorial memorial.
Yeah. And I put together furniture wrongly from IKEA quite often also. No, that I don't do. I'm awesome at that.
Well, okay.
Which probably encourages me too much to play games the wrong way.
Maybe there'll be a tank that's made of IKEA furniture.
One can only hope. That
DLC
would be
DLC or something.
Oh, man. That would be really cool. I can't remember where IKEA is. Is that Sweden? I think so.
I don't know if they
make many tanks. But yeah, it would be pretty neat to have one like with a nice finish on it. I don't know if I'd go with like a Baltic birch or a nice spalted maple. I don't know.
Decisions. What do you think, Backpack? Good choice.
Yeah,
I'd probably
go with the darker wood too, personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes more sense in those surroundings.
Now, would it
always wise, Backpack?
Always wise.
Always.
Now, would it have a little meatball dispenser within the tank, or would it fire meatballs?
I was thinking probably both. Okay. I mean, because both are invaluable. Because depending on the level of frozenness of the meatball at that moment, you can have it really do some damage or feed the masses. So,
true. Yeah.
Or maybe like turn like German tank commanders over to your side
because the power of the meatball.
Oh man, that's a good meatball.
That's good.
I mean,
I can't possibly fight you anymore.
I don't know why I've been fighting over this side all this time.
Let's be friends again.
Right.
All right. So,
how do you construct your tanks? But yes.
Okay, so you've been playing that.
I've been doing that, and I've fallen in love at this point with the tank destroyers, which you'd think that would be like a no-brainer in a game with tanks. But yeah, they're kind of like the snipers of the tank world. They're a little bit tricky to do all the aiming and whatnot.
Okay.
But yeah, it's usually a pretty big payoff if you can manage to sneak up with somebody or sneak up on somebody. So yeah.
Which you know, I think would be difficult to do with a tank, but you know, just because they're generally loud.
And well, I mean, and that's the loudness is definitely a thing, I think. But the other side is that I really think they did an excellent job on the maps on that game. They really made it good for having a long, interesting game pretty much every time, just because there's enough hills or enough little, like, rivers that carve through the land that you can run a tank down in, that it makes it so you can sneak up on people a decent amount at a time.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of it's a huge trade-off. You can sneak up on somebody and possibly never see anybody through the entire game, in which case you might have lost all of your kills to your fellow teammates.
Mm.
But the other side of it is that if you get like a nice high vantage point, you can usually get a lot of kills, but you attract a lot of attention up there being a big noisy tank on a hilltop. So
makes sense. So last question before moving on
from
World of Tanks. Is there a respawn, or is it just you get one life around or something?
The way they kind of got around it is also by encouraging you to collect more tanks, kind of, because you can just select another tank and jump right back into the action.
Okay.
I mean, not really jump back into the action. You can start up another game.
Oh.
And it's relatively quick.
Okay.
So, yeah, that previous game has to go until completion before you get any points you amassed off of it if you got knocked out of the game.
Mm.
But in the meantime, you can be playing a whole nother game. Okay. So,
well, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty slick, I think.
Nice.
And what about you? What have you been playing?
Let's see. Well,
play. If you want to talk about playing.
I did get a chance to actually try something.
Okay.
One of our mutual friends, Kane, you know, does his typical streaming.
I've never heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll go from there, though.
He's from the magical land of Canada.
Oh, okay. I think I know him now. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. sound more familiar.
He streamed Quiplash.
Oh, okay.
From the makers of the Jackbox Party, you know, like the Fibbage and the
They usually make Drawful. Pretty entertaining stuff.
Yeah, we finally got a chance to play that one, and that one's nice because, like the others, like all you need is a web browser.
Okay.
To play, like, you don't even need the game.
Yeah,
itself.
It's a handy little thing, not forcing a dozen people to buy all the same game.
Yeah, and the nice thing about this one, say compared to like Fibbage, is if you don't make it, you can play. At least this version played on Xbox One.
Okay.
You can eight players, but there's an audience participation. The audience can vote on the choices as well, and they will factor into like the percentage of who can sort of win. So, if you don't make it in to actually play, you can still jump into the room, you know, to enter in the code and be part of the audience, and you get like. An opportunity to vote on what you think, and you don't have to vote, or you can.
That's a nice way, because, I mean, me personally, with their games, I've run into technical difficulties that it seems like if you ran into that, you could at least be an audience member and like work that way. It sounds like,
yeah,
okay,
but yeah. So just to kind of explain the game, basically, it's like you get, when the game starts, there's three rounds, and I believe for the first two rounds, you get two questions.
Okay.
And the object is to answer those questions as seriously as you want, as funny as you want, like whatever you want to, however you want to answer the questions.
Okay.
You just type those in, and then what happens is someone else in that group gets those same questions.
Okay.
And you go up against another person, and the other players get to vote on which one they think is the best one. Like the answer, the question will pop up, and it'll rotate like questions, you know, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then it'll show the two answers that whomever in the, you know, in the game put down. And then you can't vote, but everyone else gets to vote which one they think is the best one.
Right, right.
Then at the end, it shows who voted, and then, you know, like that, and then it like has a little animation of like the audience will move over if they picked one or other good split, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, because I kind of wondered how it worked too. Like, I thought, like, I was trying to figure out, like, well, wait, does everyone in the group get like the same question? But you don't. You just, one other person gets it. So you're just paired up with that other person for two, and then the rest. That way it's like...
Do you stay paired up with that person over the course of the game, or does that switch around also?
Honestly, I couldn't tell between rounds. I want to say it alternates, but I can't say for certain. I didn't pay that close to attention of who...
Okay.
Like, you know, who had put me up against when I put my answer down.
Still, it's kind of a nice twist on it, having it be a little bit more head-to-head than most of those games.
Yeah, but still give it... Because I was trying to figure out, too, like, if everyone had the same question in the group, you know, in the thing, and they're just trying to fill out, like, why wouldn't you vote for yours? But, you know, but since it's only selecting two people from the group, giving you those two questions, and then the rest of the group
is there a minimum number of people that are supposed to be in there, or does it spawn people in somehow?
I think Kane wasn't able to start the game until there were four people, I think.
Okay, that makes some sense.
But and then the last round was just one question. And it was, I think that one, like everyone got like the same question, but you couldn't vote on you couldn't vote for yours.
So. Okay.
But yeah, it had sort of like that same kind of humor as Fibbage and all stuff. You know, you can tell like, oh, this is a Jackbox like production, blah, 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 whatever. But
Yeah, it, and it's always nice to actually be able to insert some of your sense of humor into something like that, too.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, too. You kind of find out, like, the sense of humor of the group that you're playing with when you're playing this game.
Are you tempted to adapt, or do you feel like...
You kind of feel like if you... I mean, I guess if you want to win, you kind of have to adapt with, like, what you think the rest of the group... Because, like, I could tell... There was a certain kind of humor that was happening. There was a certain kind of humor and a lot of, like, Kane stream in jokes.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, you know, like, okay, you know, like, I guess this is kind of, if I want any chance of actually, quote unquote, winning, like, this is kind of what I have to shoot for.
Exist within that set of rules, sort of.
Yeah.
Okay. 'Cause, yeah, that makes some sense. I mean, a lot of those sort of joke games, it seems like you have to play little bit more like that, even if it takes some of the fun out of your own, like, sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, okay, this kind of sense of humor is not going well with the rest of this crowd. All right. I guess I have to change it to this. But speaking of things you will never have to change.
Right.
If you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website. You'll never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip is to search or KSU, because there are lots of
numbers in the
103.3
world.
FMs out there, but only one KSU.
Yes, we are unique in that way, not so much in a numeric way.
Very true.
Yes.
Let's see. Did you watch anything? Worth mentioning, or
I've been...
Besides our watch party, which we'll get to at the end.
Right, yeah. For some reason, I got the bug to watch in kind of an older series at this point again, called Deadwood. It's been around forever. But okay. I just always enjoy that one just because so many names kind of spun off of that one, or kind of got... A little bit of a running start off of it. Okay. I mean, they were around before, but they kind of reintroduced, and it's just a really solid production. But it's another, I can't remember if it was Showtime or HBO. I think it's HBO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of the typical thing where they really go for broke with, like, bad language and sexual situations and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can remember that one being...
And, yeah, the bad language is interesting because it's all, like, really, like, Old West, like, post-Civil War bad language. And so it ends up kind of seeping into your brain a disturbing amount. Like, I don't know how many times I've had, like, weird... stuff from that series, like, pop into my head as, like, a an instant answer to somebody's question or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And I'm really hoping it doesn't, like, spill from my mouth one of these days, because
especially while we're on air.
Well, I'm really hoping then. Yeah. But yeah, just in everyday life too, because there's some genuinely horrible stuff, at least, especially for this day and age, because I mean, everything was fair game back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. I live in constant fear of that, and yet I've dedicated myself to completing the series for some reason. But yeah, I'm actually enjoying it a whole lot. It's really interesting seeing the difference between Timothy Oliphant as a sheriff in that versus
Justified.
Just because he's a much more heroic character in Justified. I mean, he has his kind of bad moments also, but yeah, he's like a good guy, but not terribly good at being a good guy.
Okay.
It's really interesting seeing something like that where sort of the most effective good guys are the most horrible people in the show, like having murders happen all over the place and whatnot, but they actually are able to do the things that kind of save the camp every single time. So It's probably not the best morality lesson for children, I'm thinking.
Probably not a kid show.
Right, yeah. Yeah. One of these days they'll sanitize it up and make it all kid friendly. Change all of the wording right around. Have like teddy bears' voices for all the characters and so on.
Well, you did hear about like HBO did acquire a kid show.
I didn't even mean for that to be as perfect of a segue as that ended up being. Yeah, that was weird to me, but I read some articles that laid it out and it made a lot of sense.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Were you going to be touching that in the newsletter?
I hadn't planned on it. No. So yeah, you might as well mention it right now. But yeah, Sesame Street, if anybody hasn't heard, has made the jump sort of in a time warp fashion from PBS onto HBO so that they can effectively make their stuff and later post their stuff to PBS.
PBS, yeah.
So
have a little bigger budget, keep the show going.
Yeah. One of the articles I read, it was very happy that they made the deal because, of course, it helps them out and keeps funding and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And they explained how their funding had dried up and so on. But it was a little bit biting from one angle that I thought was kind of funny. It was like, the show effectively was created to help kids that didn't have the learning opportunities that the more upper class children would have.
Yeah.
And to give them like a fighting chance to learn reading and writing and arithmetic a little bit ahead of time and get it to be enjoyable and so on. And so now by putting it behind the HBO paywall where like sort of the elite kids get it first, they're sort of doing the exact opposite of what they started out doing.
True.
But it's still, I mean, in the long run, it'll end up working out
in
exactly the same way. So
I would agree.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if people have any complaints when it does end up on PBS that jokes are out of date or whatnot. It seems like they do more thematic stuff every year. So
yeah. Because I can't remember. Did it mention the difference, like how long?
For some reason, I have 3 years stuck in my head. It's a sizable chunk of time.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what they're planning on doing during that time. I don't know if they're planning on recycling old ones for that chunk of time. Then when it catches up, being able to do the new stuff. But it was a long time. So it would be interesting to see how they take that hit over at PBS.
Hmm.
So
we shall see.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll do a report. Some one of us will do a news story on that as it, you know, starts to actually get going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the jokes are already probably flying from every single comedy network or whatnot.
Yeah.
About what sort of topics they're going to be taking on from now on. Actually, I think Penny Arcade already took a little jab at that since they can usually work fast.
Yeah. And then there's also, I mean, that Muppets like TV show.
That's true. On, like, and it's definitely going to have a little bit more of an adult edge to it.
Yeah.
I mean, not like super adult or anything. Like yeah. But yeah. More adult issues than I think we've ever seen acknowledged before. Like a pig and a frog splitting up. That's, yeah.
No.
I know, it's craziness. It seems impossible because they are a match made in heaven.
That's true. Speaking of animals and a possible match made in heaven.
Yes.
Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer?
Boy, howdy.
Then you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit, that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Yes. Do that.
Do it. It's really easy.
It's highly recommended.
Mm-hmm. Plus, they can, you know, going from there, you can branch out into other things. If you're like, well, I'm not really in San Jose, but, oh, hey, there's sort of a this city chapter, or, oh, there's this organization. You know how Facebook works. They kind of link all the stuff together.
It's a big web out there. The interwebs.
It's true.
The inner Facebook webs. the Cobb Facebook. I don't know how to put that in a better way. But yeah.
I'm not really sure either. But
yeah.
But let's see.
Spidery things are happening.
Yeah. Everywhere. Yeah. Maybe Spider-Man will show
up.
Not
in a creepy way.
No.
Don't put that edge to it. I'm not trying to make anybody feel like they shouldn't trust Facebook because it's created and maintained by spiders. I don't want people to think that's a negative thing. That's like the best thing possible. And spiders are diligent.
Mm, it's true.
Yeah. They know how to make a website.
It's very true.
Yeah.
I did watch one maybe a week ago.
Like, uh-huh.
Making a little cocoon thing for a bug or something that it caught.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like, it's crazy just watching, like, they, you know, kind of use like two legs to kind of hang there, and then a couple other two to spin it, and like another two to kind of work it a little bit.
Like another set of legs to be spinning plates or something like that.
Yeah. Whoa, that's crazy.
Or typing up Facebook pages.
Yeah. That's the other one that's hiding.
Yeah. That's its brother. The other one is supporting with meals and so on. So they don't pay the spiders very good.
No. So I'd watch anything else or worth mentioning? Or
not really. I spent way too much time watching Deadwood and driving tanks. That's fairly American.
It's true.
That's what you do in summer here in America.
That's true, especially if it's really hot outside and you don't want to go outside.
Yeah, don't even get me started on that. I couldn't even sleep last night. Ooh. It was so bad.
Yeah. It's been pretty brutal. But let's see. I'm trying to finish the series Outlander. What they did was they split the first season like in half.
Okay.
And they showed like the first half of the season, I don't know, like last year or something like that, maybe.
Okay.
And then they showed the second half this year, like earlier on this year.
Huh. Okay.
So when I was all done, now I'm like trying to finish that off. So I've been watching like the first few episodes of that or something. But yeah, it was just kind of a weird thing of like oh, split the first season in half. All right. I guess just because of the type of show, maybe like
yeah.
You know,
well, like how many episodes were there in like the first half? Or
oh man,
if it was like two or three, then I
was it 10?
Okay,
maybe 10.
I mean, that's going for like a regular season these days, as far as cable goes.
Yeah, so. Yeah, like Game of Thrones is typically 10.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just kind of weird. They'd sort of come out and saying, like, we're splitting the first season. And
it's an odd strategy. What? It doesn't seem like a good way to keep customers, but it worked on you. So, I mean,
yeah.
What do I know?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know if they're going to do the same thing with the next season, if they'll split that in half or just go with it being, you know, a shorter, quote unquote, or regular.
Yeah, everything that I've heard about the show, it sounds like a lot of fun. Like people are really invested in it. So hopefully it means that they can just proceed straight on through it.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. I'll have to check if they've mentioned. I know they were at Comic-Con, so maybe they mentioned there like when the next season was premiering and how many episodes it'll be or something like that. But
so what do you credit like that? Like the main selling point for that show as being like how is it best executed or whatever?
Well, let's see.
Because the idea is interesting to me, but I'm obviously on the fence because I've never actually picked it up at all.
Yeah, I guess just kind of a quick thing is it's a story about a woman from like the 1940s.
Okay.
Who gets transported back to, I don't know the exact year, but just like Highlander Scotland, like Braveheart, sort of like...
Ye old Celtic days.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, she gets transported back there. She was a like a nurse in the war.
Okay. That's so useful. She has,
yeah.
Yeah.
So she has her training in that. And it, so far, like, it's about her, like, sort of trying to get back and, like, just kind of, like, living in this world. And she's, like, I don't want to give away too much stuff, but right. She, you know, she meets the other sort of main character in the show, Jamie. And, like, there's a relationship there and okay. That sort of thing. And it's just kind of like what's going on in his world, like during that time, like the Scottish or like kind of, you see the rumblings, you know, of like, they're not really happy being under the British rule. And okay. So some are like trying to kind of build up a resistance while others are just trying to like be a little more diplomatic. Like,
is there some idea of the time frame compared to like popular stuff like Braveheart or?
I think it's, I can't say for sure, but I want to say it's like before.
Okay.
I think it's.
It would make sense. I mean.
Oh, maybe not. I can't remember. Did they have guns in Braveheart? Muskets?
Not really. I don't think.
Okay, then it must have been after, because they have muskets.
Okay.
So maybe it's more like. Yeah, I know
there's
like
a lot of back and forth in that region. So.
Maybe it's more Rob Roy. If you're okay. familiar with that film with Liam Neeson.
Yeah, that sounds...
I think it's more that time probably because they had...
Okay.
They had muskets and stuff, you know, in that film during okay. that sort of era. I wish I apologize out there, Scottish historians are
so,
yelling
yeah, to,
at,
ah! to relate it to Americana, since that makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Then that would place it like around Civil War area or like revolutionary times, something like that for us.
Yeah, it would be definitely be more revolutionary, okay. I'd say. Yeah, I don't think they've mentioned, like...
No artillery or anything like that, right?
Yeah, or like, the colonies much, or anything.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. I don't want to keep, like, digging my own grave. Yeah. Like,
yes,
I don't
ruin
know
this series
exactly,
for everybody.
I know that the British and the there's muskets. So
okay. How many machine guns do they have?
That they don't have. Okay. Don't know that. But, okay. But yeah, and then I think right now the main... There's a few drawing points. Like, I think the main... the main Claire
mm-hmm.
is, like, super hot and like okay. really good.
Okay.
And I also think the Jamie character is really good as well. Like, I think they're
pretty
the chemistry
hot.
Between them. Well,
okay.
Well, you know, I know the ladies like him because he was at Comic-Con and one of the panels that was in there, like, they went nuts when he,
okay.
when it, you know, gave a question to him. But yeah, their chemistry is really good. And like, okay. it's just, it's interesting, like, seeing, because, it's like, I don't want to like spoil, you mm-hmm. know, a whole lot, but I like sort of how they've kind of evolved like his character, where they still play up, you know, sort of like the man and woman traditional roles,
uh-huh.
like, you know, back then, quote unquote,
uh-huh.
but they work it. So like, he's actually, because she's, they kind of, I mean, they play a little bit. I'm not familiar with the book series because okay. it's based on books.
Right.
But I think they kind of play, they kind of make Claire, I think, a little, I can't speak for a woman from the 1940s, but they do kind of
nor
make
can
her.
I.
Yeah. They kind of make her character, I think, a little more modern, like today in her attitude.
Okay.
Not that I don't think there were women back then who were like, you know, didn't all just think like, well, all women just belong, you know, in the kitchen uh-huh. and blah, blah, blah.
But it was probably more prevalent than it is today. Is
yeah.
where you're going,
so, so they play her being much more independent, and it still fits because it's like, you know, kind of playing up her character mm-hmm. of she was raised by, like archaeologist family and, you know, she had a bunch of schooling from
just
that.
Randomly,
and,
like.
Yeah. And she, you know, she was a nurse in the war. And so she was like doing stuff, you know, she wasn't just like sit at home, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And like, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to say, I'm just trying to explain like kind
no,
of how
I'm trying,
they can.
I'm trying to trap you in the hot water here.
How they can.
So what exactly is wrong with being at home?
Nothing. So
okay.
So just to kind of fit like how it sort of fits, but I think they do kind of make her a little bit more now thinking a uh-huh. little bit, just because I think like it wouldn't play as well if mm-hmm. they kept her still in that kind of 40s mindset, but it still works now. So it's like,
and it makes an interesting dynamic between the really the old
two.
School.
Yeah.
Two. Okay.
But it's cool with the Jamie character again, like not, I don't want to give away too much, but
uh-huh.
you get to see like his character evolve like in a way of thinking.
Uh-huh.
And it just makes me think of kind of how like throughout history, those moments of we would do or think a certain way
mm-hmm.
and then what kind of caused us to stop and think like, well, maybe that's not mm-hmm. the right way to do it, even though we, you know, we've been doing it for. Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's cool. Like they really could have just made like his character just the straight up, like I'm the man and blah, blah, blah. You're supposed to do this, but he's not. It's like it's weird. It's like, I can totally see why, like, not to say chicks were the only people with me in this, but like
uh-huh.
why they would be like, this is a cool romance. Like this is good. Like even I
okay.
was kind of like, yeah, this is like a cool kind of couple.
It's more
like
interesting,
it's,
it
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their characters are more, I don't know, they're just more interesting than
uh-huh.
they could have played them. So that's nice. And so yeah. I think that like that's kind of the main draw for me right now. And just the history aspect of it, it's, you know, a little familiar as far as like you kind of knew about like the Scots and the English not
right.
super getting along, but you this, you know, kind of
skipping off into the sunset together.
Yeah. But seeing just different
as they do
seeing,
now, like all the time.
Oh, of course.
Right.
But seeing kind of like the whole of the idea of like that there were different clans
uh-huh.
within Scotland and stuff, you know, instead
right.
of like just, you know, again, I don't really know like British and Scottish like super history or anything, but you know,
yeah,
just
I
like not really
I
having.
Too, just because I'm like half Scottish and I don't even know like from which clan I hail and so on. So,
but it's kind of neat. Like they, you know, play up the different, like, oh, this clan not so friendly with this one and that sort
uh-huh.
of thing. And just like, but then still being, like when they make reference to, you're like, oh yeah, your king, and the, you know, English guys, you mean our king, you know, and it's like, oh
okay.
yeah, yeah,
right,
you know,
right.
that's what I meant, you know, blah, blah, blah. But still, you know, having like one sort of central, you know, but I think I'm liking it so far. I think it's
okay. Sounds good.
Solid stuff. But yeah, I recommend it. If you have any sort of interest in, I don't know, that kind of setting. It's
yeah, it sounds interesting to me. I mean,
oh, and I will throw in I'll throw in this other little twist too, is like her husband back in the 40s
uh-huh.
is like trying to like find out what happened to her as well, because she just vanished.
Oh, okay.
And so like they'll sometimes flash to him and he's like trying to find out like where'd she go, like she wouldn't have just run off, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And
like the thing that flashes in my mind is the Silent Hill movie for some
oh,
reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But because like the reason why she was there is she was with her husband, and like her husband was kind of like telling her about like the history of the area and
okay.
like trying to find like also like he was kind of tracing his roots back.
Oh, okay.
And so during that time, like, so when she goes back, she like runs into one of his like relatives from back then, and of course it's played by the same actor.
Oh, okay.
And let's just say that guy's not like a good guy. So so yeah, it's a little, you know, a little weird, like seeing, you know, imagine seeing
your
husband.
I can imagine that being a little bit tense.
And it's not like the same guy you fell in love with. He's
yeah.
not a very nice guy at all. But
Hopefully that doesn't make her see her husband in a different set of glasses, I guess, or something. Yeah. I don't know.
But then it also, like, it kind of, because at the time she was sort of learning about what was going on through her husband and this and that, and knowing a little bit of history, like, so, you know, that is a little bit helpful, her knowing, like, what's, you know, people and what's going to happen kinds of things. Like, not exact, but knowing, like, I kind of am familiar with this history. You know, she's British, so she knows a little more of that area. So she can
avoid a little bit of trouble and so on.
Yeah, or trouble finds
her. Or get into it.
Yeah. Okay. So, but, yeah, I think I've spoken enough on Outlander, but yeah.
No, it definitely sounds interesting. It was one of the more oddly sold shows when it first came around. It was like, here's some rocks that did some things.
Yeah.
And now history.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I think I understand where you're going with this, but yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I think it relies a little more on, like, you getting invested in the characters, and then, like, you know, obviously that element is still uh-huh. there, sprinkled in, but it's, you know, I wouldn't say it's like a full hard on like sci-fi show or something like right. that, you know, since, especially because it's from the guy who did the Battlestar Galactica remake. So
wow, okay,
or one of the guys, I can't say, like Ronald Moore or D. Moore or something, like, I think is okay. his name. But
yeah, that's an interesting jump, but I can see that, because arguably that wasn't a lot of sci-fi either.
Yeah, it was definitely more character kind of studies and stuff, and the sci-fi sort of happened around it.
Right. Just along for the ride.
Yeah.
It's like sci-fi is in the back, like, oh, come on, guys. Can you pay attention to me for a little while? Yeah. No.
But, oh, and then I will, before we get to our watch party.
Yes.
I do want to give a quick shout out here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Nice. Station ID. Gotcha. You know, you're listening to Robots Attack, of course. If you're like me and you have a job that, say, is very monotonous, or, you know, you're kind of doing the same thing over and over again, or, you know, you get the idea.
I gotcha.
Maybe you like to, you know, listen to music, or, you know, find podcasts or that sort of thing. Just kind of right. listen to stuff to sort of distract you, sort of thing. Or maybe even you don't have those things, you just like to listen to that stuff on your drive or this or that.
Okay.
Well, I just want to give a quick shout out to a couple podcasts that I recommend. One, speaking of sci-fi, it's one called Hunt the Truth. I don't know if you're familiar with this one, but it's...
No idea.
It's a lead-in to Halo 5 Guardians. Now, before you go, ugh, I have no interest in Halo, I can totally understand, but I would say if you have even like just kind of a passing interest, I highly recommend this podcast.
Okay.
Key from Key and Peele.
Oh, okay.
Is the main... It's a story about a...
Keegan-Michael Keane, I think. I completely screwed it up, I think.
Something. But it's a story about a reporter who's given like sort of a fluff piece to write about just kind of the history of Master Chief.
Okay.
But as he starts doing that, he starts to find like inconsistencies and sort of things that don't really make sense. Okay. And so I forget how many episodes it is, if it's like 15 or 16, something like that.
Uh-huh.
But it's sort of like, as he starts to investigate more and more, he kind of starts to unravel these things, and it's like things that start to not make sense. And he's like, he can sort of see he's sort of getting pushed away and this and that, but he plays the main character. Jennifer Hale, if you're familiar with her, she's done a bunch of video game voice stuff, and she's in it. The
excellent actress.
Yeah. I feel bad, but I don't know the actor's name. I believe he's like an actor and a comedian. He's on Silicon Valley, and I don't know if he's Indian or Pakistani.
Okay.
But
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like I can picture his face, and it's like
I think he's on Portlandia also every once in a while.
Okay, but yes, he is. He's also on it, and Troy Baker, another video game voiceover and other stuff. He's also in it. There's a lot of like familiar, well-known people in it, and the production is excellent. So I like it surprised me completely because, like I said, even if you have just like sort of a passing interest in Halo, like if you like it well enough, if you hate it, you might not like this. But if you find like the setting at least somewhat interesting,
I think you'll still
get roped into this, and you'll like, you don't need the question is like, oh, well, I don't really know that much about Halo. This is actually like a pretty solid jumping in point.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good way to get into it.
It helps if you know like a bunch, but even if you don't, like it's still entertaining enough. Like you'll still learn because it sort of introduces you, and it did get greenlit for a second season, which I'm excited for. But
cool.
It's supposed to lead into Halo 5 Guardians, so it's kind of like gives you a little bit of history on Master Chief kind of and what's going on, and then the events sort of leading up to Halo 5. So yeah, I was totally surprised, but I think a lot of other gamers that I sort of read comments about too were really surprised as well. Like, you know, heard about this thing, like, well, it's sort of a...
Yeah, it's funny. It seems like that's one of those things that it was popular enough that it ended up spawning this massive backstory and a lot of really intricate details for the entire world behind it.
Yeah.
But the number of people who actually pursued that seems to be fairly slim. The people that did seem really devoted to it and really interested. So I can, just seeing how they've reacted to things like this, I can understand that it must be a pretty deep and kind of fun experience to go through, just unraveling some of the finer points of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's sort of, you know, kind of that classic radio drama sort of thing, but just not like...
Okay.
It's not super cheesy, I would
say. Don't
say.
Like,
they don't do
wave around big sheets of metal.
No,
it's thunder.
No, you can tell there's money put into this.
Okay.
And but yeah, so there's that one. And if it's, say, you're not interested in sci-fi, but say you're interested into maybe supernatural or paranormal. Paranoia. I was like, well, I guess it can lead to that. But was another podcast that I found just sort of randomly through the Nerdist.
Oh, okay.
They recommended it because they recommend stuff like at the beginning of their podcast before they get into their regular show.
Right.
But this one is called the Black Tapes Podcast. Hmm. And this one, it's like, how best to describe it? It's okay. If you can imagine a pretend, like, okay, you know, NPR.
Yeah.
Now imagine like sort of like, you know, a fake NPR and a show that was on that fake kind of NPR.
Uh-huh.
They split off to do their own sort of like documentary style.
Okay.
On like the supernatural and the paranormal.
Right.
But as they were doing that, like, they ended up shifting it to focus more on a character, a doctor who specializes in like debunking ghosts or you know, things like, oh, this was a ghost here, like, no, this is how they did it, like, it's just fake, this, like they sort of geared their documentary a little more towards this character. And his idea of debunking all these kind of myths and that sort of thing. And he has these, for our audience who is unfamiliar with VHS tapes. I don't know if you remember the white VHS holders. Like, they would just be basic white. I'm sure you've probably seen them before. Just blank, like, white plastic, just flop. Well, he has a bunch of those. Like, he has sort of like a filing cabinet. He has a bunch of those, but they're not filled with VHS tapes. He just uses them to hold like flash drives or like 8 millimeter tape or something. In the podcast, he sort of describes like it ended up being sort of the perfect carrying case for this sort of stuff, and then also being able to store them. So all the white ones are the ones that he's debunked of all these things that like people have like, you know, sent him stuff or he's gone out and checked and like, oh no, this is how he did it, blah blah blah, you know, this is like,
I gotcha.
But he has some other ones that are in black cases, hence the name the Black Tapes podcast, that he hasn't debunked yet.
Okay.
And so each episode kind of focuses on a different tape, and also like they weave this sort of overall story also within dealing with these different tapes. Like it's
sounds like some fun. I mean,
it is. It's like, it's clearly funny. Doesn't see, have like,
your arm movements. Yeah, and so it's on. Like, you're really excited to talk about this.
It clearly doesn't have the production value of Hunt the Truth, because obviously it doesn't have a giant 343, you know, company behind it.
Because they got fired from fake NPR.
Exactly. But you can tell like there's definitely, you know, passion towards it, and and overall I think it's really solid and fun. If you're if you're into that sort of, like, for me, because I brought this up also because I think, you know, you're a horror movie fan.
Yeah.
You know, and our buddy Kane in the Magical Land of Canada is also a horror movie
fan.
The
one that I'm now remembering better.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Okay. I think if you're a fan of sort of that genre, you'll really like these, especially if you, like, for me, I like kind of on those kinds of movies, or like the supernatural movies, or, you know, I always kind of like the journey and like the investigation part of those movies.
Okay.
Like the most, and then kind of like in the end when they generally solve it, or you like, it was revealed, here's the, you know, the bad guy or something, and you actually see the bad guy and stuff, and it's like, it could still be fine.
When they Scooby-Doo it.
Yeah, it could still be fine, but it sort of like loses a little bit for me. Like, I like that, just that investigating part and that whole like kind of journey leading up to it a little more than the others. And so this does a lot of that. Like, it doesn't, a lot of the cases, like, they don't, this doesn't really give anything away, but it might help just to kind of get you sort of an idea of what episodes are like.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go over these episodes and they don't like generally, you know, solve like the you know, the issue, like, oh well, you know, this is that, because these are ones that he hasn't, you know, debunked yet.
Right
So it kind of leaves you at the end of some of the episodes like, you go like, oh man, I wonder, like, they didn't solve it, but you're like, I kind of like that, like, it's still in your mind, you're still,
I gotcha, you know, it's sort of like why in a trilogy, usually people seem to like the second movie better.
Because
all the mystery is still there. Like, it's kind of cranking up towards the big finale, but it's still got that tension there and everything like that.
Yeah.
And they haven't, like, let her rip at the end, you know?
Yeah. But
makes sense to me.
But yeah, I would.
I can dig it.
That's good. Yeah, I would recommend both of those. I know they're two sort of different genres, but so if you like both genres, I definitely recommend, you know, both. But if you maybe you lean a little more sci-fi, then try Hunt the Truth. If maybe you lean a little more paranormal, try the Black Tapes podcast.
It's so funny, like, how fairly good audio equipment has become available to the masses now.
Yeah.
And so it's ended up spawning this entire industry that you would have never guessed would end up being a thing maybe like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, everybody kind of thought radio was on its way out.
Yeah.
And it was sort of resurrected overnight just by some pretty decent microphones.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the various people doing their own sort of podcasts and things on their own, and that infusing.
Yeah, it's neat to see how it's spun back into what old radio used to be.
Yeah, I would agree. But yeah, those are some, I guess, sort of quick shout outs. I tried to make them as quick as possible, but
I'm glad you did it. That was cool.
Let's see. I think what we'll do, so it's time for a PSA. I think we'll do
a PSA.
I'm gonna give you the choice. You know between the two. You got this one or the other one. You know which one.
Water, which one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, which give me the water.
Give you the water. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll do this PSA, and then what we'll do is
this should be worth like three, just yeah, for people. Again, this is like behind the curtain stuff.
Yeah, but that's what you get here sometimes.
Right.
But yeah, we'll do the PSA, and then we'll take a music break since, you know, we've been talking a bit. Then we'll come back and talk about the watch party.
Okay.
And then we'll...
Hopefully I can get through this like relatively quick because I don't even know when it happened, but I bit my tongue somewhere along the line yesterday.
Okay.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how some of these words come out.
Well, you sure you don't want to do the other one? You can do the short one.
I feel like this is a challenge now. Feel like it's right, sort of a go-to thing. Plus, it's actually kind of important. Okay. The San Jose City Council has triggered a 30% emergency water declaration to comply with the State Water Resource Control Board mandate for water conservation through California. The city's action also calls for further water conservation to help address the effects of the past 4 years of severe drought. The new rules take effect immediately through March 31st, 2016. The San Jose's water restrictions only apply to potable drinking water, not gray water used from water from baths and sinks or recycled water. New restrictions for outdoor watering include: if using a sprinkler system, residents and businesses can water outdoors on only two designated days and only before 10 a.m. and after 8 p.m. Odd numbered addresses may water Monday and Thursdays. Even numbered addresses may water on Tuesdays and Fridays. Properties without addresses may water on Mondays and Thursdays. If using a handheld hose or an automatic shutoff nozzle drip irrigation system, residents and businesses can water outdoors before 10 a.m. and after 8 p.m. without a designated day restriction. Watering in the cooler hours of the day helps reduce evaporation and allows plants and landscape to absorb more water. Watering outdoors at other times is not allowed. The emergency declaration also prohibits residents from washing cars at home with potable water. Instead, washing cars can be done with gray water or at commercial car washing facilities, which use a recirculation system. Refilling residential swimming pools or outdoor spas more than 1 foot, and no filling with potable water, with the exception of existing pools that are drained to make leak repairs. View the full list of San Jose water use rules now in effect at www.sjenvironment.org/waterconservation. On the website, an easy-to-use printable reference of some of the rules is available.
Alrighty, yes.
Just rolls off the tongue.
It does.
That one.
And like you said, it is very important, especially in California.
Yeah. Well, it's oddly easy to forget, like, just kind of get stuck in your own world, especially if you're a video gamer. Like, you're often playing in worlds that are surrounded by water.
Yeah.
And then you take a shower, like, yeah, 4 hours of shower. Oh, wait. Dang. Messed up on that one.
Yeah, not so good.
Sorry, California.
It's my fault. Alrighty. We're going to take a music break and then we'll come back and talk about episode 3 and 4 of the watch party from Punchline.
That's right.
All right. You're listening to Robots Attack here on KC Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. and check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near radio? You can stream us whenever you want, KSU.org, or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip, search for KSU, not 103.3. All right, so we're back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara.
That's right.
We're going to talk about now our watch party. We started last week with the first two episodes of Punchline, and so this week we will talk about episodes 3 and 4, being episode 3, Martians Attack, and episode 4, Possessed by the Stripes. So I think these two episodes kind of they answered some of the questions that we kind of had from last week. Like, we weren't sure if everyone in the apartment was like part of the like superhero group.
Right.
And these episodes kind of answered that. Like,
yeah,
no, it was mostly just the girl who, I feel bad, 'cause it's like, I can't remember everyone's names on the show.
Yeah, I wish they had a better breakdown on the that Crunchyroll information also.
But yeah, I mean, we learn, let's see, like, I'm trying, like, the third episode, Martians Attack, if I remember right, that one, like, did that one started off with, like, this organization that, like, was warning everyone that, like, governments were hiding.
Right.
That there was, like, a giant meteor.
In English.
Yeah.
Which was, it's just always fun.
Yeah. But they were, like, they're hiding. Me, like, U.S. and Japan and some others,
right,
were hiding the fact that there's this meteor that's going to come and strike Earth, and that they're like,
it's just poised,
yeah,
waiting, ready,
and they're building these underground facilities or something to survive it,
or packing people into the ones that they already have,
yeah,
and yeah, so this group is trying to expose them,
yeah, and then it makes you sort of think, like, well, okay, like, our main character, Utah or something, I forget.
Yuta.
You know, he has that whole thing of, like, if he gets, like, overexcited, like,
right,
meteor comes and destroys the Earth. So it's, like, it sort of makes you wonder, is this, like, somehow, like, the same one? Is it somehow related? You know, like, they haven't answered that yet, but you start to...
It seems like it is. It's funny, like, some little elements that have been kind of popping up. I don't know if I'm stringing them together in way too weird of a way, but I'm wondering if I've kind of figured out how the series is supposed to all interact with itself. But
oh, okay.
But I'll hold my theory for a little while longer. I'm just giving fair warning now so I can sound all smart in the end.
Oh, okay. But you have to make sure that you say the theory before.
I'll have to write it down or something like that.
Because then otherwise you're just like, well, yeah, I knew it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. That's what I was thinking.
Like, well, okay. To me, the biggest hint is that they've mentioned that time doesn't really affect Yuta in the same way as normal people because
yeah,
he's dead.
Yeah.
So I think that's a bigger thing.
Yeah, because they did
sort of the throwaway line that they had for it.
Yeah, because I can't remember if it was episode 3 or 4, but yeah, they mentioned sort of, like, they were gonna have that party, and like he missed it, and it was
right.
It was kind of like what you said.
He
like
complains
it
about
like
losing chunks of time.
Yeah, and it's like, well, did the party happen? And I think when the cat was like, you wanted to go to that or something, like, you know,
yeah,
kind of like dismissing it. But yeah, I think you might be right. There's probably some, that's not probably not just some little throwaway thing, even though yeah, it sort of seemed that way on the surface.
Yeah, they tried, they hit it nicely.
And I think too, which I'm sure Caleb would agree if he were here.
And I'm sure Backpack agrees.
I'm sure Backpack agrees as well.
He's feeling a little bit quiet right now,
though. Yeah. Is if you were a little put off at first by the idea of the show as far as like not being a huge fan of fan service, which are Caleb
right,
is not really
not
as
not
big
his
of
bag
it. Yeah
not
but not the backpack
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how the rest of the series will be, but 3 and 4, they definitely toned. Yeah, it was like, okay, they kind of made it like a huge deal kind of at the beginning, but they didn't really like make it as much of a big deal. There was sort of like, okay, you got the idea.
Well, and it was kind of like we figured when we were wrapping up talking about it last episode.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about how it seems like they kind of built an out for it just by having him cause the end of the world.
Yeah, so they can't go overboard because then it's like constantly, he's continuously blowing up the world.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that joke only can go so many times. You know,
right,
kind
yeah.
of thing. But yeah, so I'm trying to remember.
So
right.
Yeah,
the third episode was the one with the suit, that the camouflage suit, and she's like, she's trying to hide her identity and then we kind of learn like that's where, because we kind of had
a
that
lot
question.
Of stuff happens in that episode.
Yeah, but. Like we had sort of that question of like, so wait, is this whole group like part of this team?
And right.
But this episode kind of answers that question. It's like, it's pretty much just those two.
Right.
Who sounds like they are a part of a bigger group.
Right.
Like, I forget, it's Strange something.
Eventually.
Like she's Strange Juice. And I know in the episode they mentioned like the regular group.
Oh, geez.
I don't know if it was Strange Brew or if it was something.
Liquid or something. That sounds bad.
Yeah.
Yes, something that sounds better than that with that same idea was, I think, their name.
But yeah, and then it kind of played in because I remember last week you mentioned, I believe it was you, you mentioned that bear is probably involved with something bigger, and this episode definitely leads you to thinking that, because the guy shows up wanting to steal the bear and like it gets cut and then it's healed, and you're like, there's something.
The episodes are definitely, they're solving a lot of problems and they're answering questions, but they're leaving like two or three more.
And they're so, like, hey, we answered a couple of those, here's some more for you.
It's a good place for that at this point. And hopefully not all of them are just laughed off, since that seems to be a fun little trick that this show likes to do also. But yeah, okay, we'll kind of go step by step through it. So we find out that the girl who has kind of the auto mechanics room and like sitting in the big chair, that she's actually a robot.
Yeah, that was.
And that.
Was not expecting that.
Right. And she's sort of the center of everything, because it turned out that it was her dad who built this apartment and used it as like a place to study or whatnot.
Yeah.
And just happened to let other people live there also, it sounds like. Which I best I can tell culturally is a normal thing in Japan. Like, build a house and rent out however many rooms or whatnot.
Well, wasn't it like after he died, like she inherited the place and like a bunch of like money or something, and so
That's true too. And but his dying thing had to do with the Strange Brew we're gonna stick with for now.
Yeah.
That she was supposed to seek out somebody who was eventually going to be the hero of this superhero group in the future.
Yeah.
And so that's how she found the other Strange Juice.
Yeah.
Oh man, this show.
The names, yeah.
And why she's kind of mentoring her and giving her the stuff that gives her powers and so on, which seems to be all like technical so far, instead of being any sort of weird spiritual stuff. It's like actual mechanical devices that the robot has made for her.
Yeah.
So that answers a lot of questions on just how that all functioned. But all of the other people seem to just know each other just from living in the same apartment, basically.
Yeah.
And So where they end up kind of recombining is, and things get interesting, is out of the blue, when the one gamer girl is trying to figure out what's up with the main superhero girl, because she suspects that she's the superhero but doesn't quite know yet, and they do a little thing where they try and hide it with like camo suits and stuff like that. Anyway, they do all that stuff, and out of the blue, this like gas mask like commando guy
shows up,
pops out of no place and tries to steal the bear.
And you're like, what?
And yeah, it was like, oh, okay. And that's when it's like, okay, no choice. The girl has to go all super and whatnot. And and sort of like 90% gives away that she's that character to the gamer girl.
And then the other superhero guy shows up out of the blue. Which, so do you think that's Yuta?
I think that's the physical body of Yuta. Yeah. But there's no way to know for sure at this point.
That's what I was kind of curious about. I was like, I wonder if that's whoever's possessing Yuta.
Right. Like, and it would make some sense too, just because he's running around trying to act like a superhero for a while, and he's just getting smeared because he's just like a normal kid in like a jumpsuit. And he runs off like, okay, I got to get super powered up. And he like runs back to the apartment, which is so it's pretty obviously that he lives there or something. Yeah. And I'm guessing he like looked up panties on his computer or something like that in order to become super powered. And proceeds to beat the crud out of the gas mask military spec ops guy. But then that's when he ends up cracking out apparently his superpower, which that he's apparently pinched in the groinal area by a turtle, which unlocks his superpowers.
Oh, yeah. It woke him up. The other guy, like, he got woke up by that.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was... But
he got more powerful after that too, best I can tell. So it seems like there's a group of people who have powers that are triggered in weird ways.
Yeah, focus on a particular area of
the body, yeah.
But yeah, and then in the next episode, they introduce, like, they have those three kids, and the one that's like that loses the ball, is that supposed to be the Strange Juice girl?
No, best I can tell, and I'd need to rewind it, but I think the pink-haired girl who agreed to run off with the white-haired kid was her. And apparently she's lost her memory or something like that.
Is the Strange Juice girl?
Right.
Okay.
And the other one, I'm wondering if she's going to be end up being the gamer girl. Because the gamer girl, she has blonde hair, but you can see brown roots in her hair. And
I know they showed like the letters like behind their ears and stuff.
Right.
I can't remember if they showed that, but in...
With Strange Juice, they showed that she had a letter, but I can't remember for sure. And with those two, it's easy to confuse because... One's a G and one's a C.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they outright show which one it is, but you can see that it is something there.
Yeah.
So it'd be easy enough just to rewind and find that out.
Yeah.
But
I have to double check. I'm wondering if that kid is the head, like, terrorist guy.
I'd assume so. I'd assume so. Because when he saw the tattoo from the pink-haired girl, he had his, like, ah moment. Mm. So yeah, I assume that's how they're all connected, but I'm guessing that the white-haired kid is the only one with any memories of all that stuff. And so we'll see how that ends up all coming together.
Yeah, because in that episode, I mean, that was... trying to remember. That was pretty much like the main kind of stuff, right? Was like introducing those kids kind
of. That was
there,
fairly brief. Sure. That was just like the very beginning of it. And then next up, we had basically everybody trying to gear up for the one seance girl. She was going to have a date.
Oh, okay, that's
and
right.
And so everybody was trying to help out by asking questions and so on.
That's right, but, and the date turning out to be an agent, like...
Right, from the NSA or something like that.
Yeah.
And it, I thought that was really funny, too, just because they went to a little bit of extra effort to make sure that he had, like, big American eyes.
Oh.
And they're not that much bigger than, like, kind of the trend in anime right now is to have a little bit bigger eyes than they used to have in the past. And so it doesn't really look all that much different, but they just by being a little bit bigger and I think having blue as the central color, it's supposed to be like, well, I mean, this is an American guy.
Blonde hair, blue-eyed white guy. Yeah. Oh, and then also Yuten being taking over, possessing.
Right. Right.
Rika,
and that...
or I know, I want to say her name begins with an R.
I cannot
remember. But yeah, the seance girl.
Yeah.
But yeah. I like to do, he possesses her, he answers those questions and pops out. And then
right.
Like, how come you didn't tell? Like, oh, yeah. The cat's like, oh, yeah, you can only possess the body for 7 minutes. Like, why didn't
so
you tell me that?
So basically he has just enough time to ruin the date. And that's it. Because the friends were trying to help out by asking questions.
Yeah, so I remember.
All the wrong answers.
Help the other guy. Like.
So yeah, I like that you find out that Yuta's favorite flower is something that smells like dead, like rotting corpses, effectively.
Yeah, or he was just like that one.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if that's his actual favorite or if he's just like
Either but, way,
yeah,
yeah. Although it does end up being a handy weapon later. So
yeah. And because I mean the other one was just him like looking around the room. Turtle feed, yes, turtle feed. That's my favorite snack.
Yeah.
And look on her face. Oh, this is awful. Oh, no, I can't have any more. No.
Right. So of course they end up coming up to the moment where the NSA guy reveals it. Oh well, I'm sorry to say it, but this date also has like some other reasons for it, and proceeds to talk about the entire like meteor crashing to Earth thing to her and saying that, oh, well, I need your help to talk to the other girl who's been like
the robot. The robot girl.
I believe the robot girl.
Yeah, because she's like the super hacker.
Right.
They need someone to hack into, because I guess like, their idea is that that group, which I'm spacing on the name,
right?
They leaked that
the group of bad people.
Yeah, that like they leaked that these governments were hiding this meteor, but they actually really like want the meteor to like. There's this sort of reverse like thing they want to like wipe out like at least like all the. Maybe not all of humanity, but most of it or something.
Yeah,
like
that's what it sounds like.
There's some sort of reverse thing, and so they need...
Which would kind of fit with the weird, like, superpowered kids that maybe they were breeding or something like that.
Yeah. There's definitely more to it, and we'll have to wait and see. And
But we get one last fight where Jumpsuit Kid, which we believe is probably, like... normal human body Yuta.
Yeah. Whoever's possessing him.
Right. That he ends up fighting the NSA guy.
Yeah. You need to get out of here. He's like weirdly strong sometimes when he really wants to be.
So yeah, basically Seance Girl ends up saving him.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, since she was not happy that he had lied to her about his reasons for dating her. Although he did mention, like, oh, but I'm totally attracted to you and blah, 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 and so on. Which, if he isn't, there's probably something wrong with him. Because, yeah, she's easily the most attractive character on the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, that is the story thus far.
Yeah.
In all of its weirdness. And surprising lack of panties for this episode.
Yeah, I think like I said, I'd be curious to see how they go with that further.
Yeah. I mean, they have their moments where it's Yuta, the spirit Yuta, like, kind of trying to brace himself. Like, oh, I think I see something about to happen here, so I better turn my head.
Yeah.
They do that a bunch of times.
Or like, I know she's a robot, but why is she in underwear?
Right.
Like, freaking out. That's pretty good. But yeah, that was episodes 3 and 4
yes.
of Punchline and our watch party. Of course, it's not too late to join us. I know we're...
Anytime's a good time.
Yeah. We're every week until, I think that's, what, 12 episodes, right, of this?
Yeah.
So... each week we'll be doing 2 episodes. So next week we'll do episode 5 and 6 from Punchline.
Yep.
So
we'll be halfway through it.
That's true. We'll see. We'll see what questions get answered and what
14
get
more questions.
Yeah.
That's what we'll get.
But yeah, it's definitely kind of not what I've expected, but I've been enjoying it so far. Like
the only thing I'd kind of stand by from the assessment last time around was it's definitely like a weird amalgam of genres. It's not trying to be a normal, like, I don't know, like, dating sort of environment or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's interesting to
see of...
the only male character so marginalized in a weird sort of way. Just because, I mean, normally he is the center of everybody's attention and everything like that. And
yeah.
So having him be a spirit who can barely even interact with any of the girls.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. It's not something that I would have expected from an anime, to be honest.
Yeah. This.
I don't know if it's progress
harem,
or not.
Yeah. Harem sort of style anime, which you may think. But yeah, it's an interesting twist. So I mean, be curious to see how that stays as we progress further into the series. I mean, there aren't that many episodes, but, you know, who knows if it ends up changing, switching back more focus to him. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yes. And we will.
Oh, we will. Speaking of animals, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
That's right.
All righty. Let's do some new releases.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll start us off with what's popping in the theaters. We've got American Ultra. Mike, a seemingly hapless and unmotivated stoner, is enjoying his small-town life with his live-in girlfriend, Phoebe. When his world is suddenly turned upside down, unbeknownst to him, Mike is actually a highly trained lethal sleeper agent. In the blink of an eye, as his secret past comes back to haunt him, Mike is thrust into the middle of a deadly government operation and is forced to summon his inner action hero in order to survive. So this sounds a little bit like, what was that Gina Davis movie called? Where, like, you know, she was like sort of spy, but like she lost her memory. Man, what was that one called?
I cannot remember.
Something.
But yeah.
The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yeah.
Maybe,
I like that
maybe
one.
Maybe the male version of that or something. But anyway, speaking of not a spy, but a hitman with superpowers, Hitman Agent 47. Agent 47 is an elite assassin genetically engineered from conception to be the perfect killing machine and known only by the last 2 digits on the barcode tattooed on the back of his neck. He is the culmination of decades of research and 46 earlier agent clones, endowing him with unprecedented strength, speed, stamina, and intelligence. What about charisma? His latest target is a mega corporation. Yeah, that plans to unlock the secret of Agent 47's past to create an army of killers whose powers surpass even his own. And finally, we have Sinister 2. protective mother and her 9-year-old twin sons find themselves in a rural house marked for death as the evil spirit of Bogol continues to spread with frightening intensity.
Okay. And if you're not in the mood for seeing your movies up on a screen, I hope I did that right.
It's fine. Blu-rays
on,
and DVDs.
On DVDs and Blu-rays, we have first up Lambert and Stamp. This follows the real and unusual story of Chris Stamp and Kit Lambert and how they moved from aspiring filmmakers to managers slash producers of one of the most influential bands of the modern age, The Who. If you don't recognize that name, it's kind of big. Like, research it and stuff.
Yeah.
Next up, Google we have Little Boy. There are a few things as pure as the love of a child and father. When World War II takes his father away, the 7-year-old will do all he can to bring the war to a close and have his father home. That's a powerful child.
It's true.
Stopping wars. Next up, we have Strangeland. A new family comes to the remote Australian town of Nathgari. While they begin to adjust to the life this deep into the outback, tragedy strikes. Their teenage children are lost, and a sandstorm has engulfed the town in red dust. Suspicion, rumor, and will to survive a painful truth punctuate this mystery. Next up, we have Walt Disney Animation Studios' short film collection. Enjoy many of the award-winning and nominated short films by some of the brightest talents in animation. This collection includes Paper Man, Feast, Prep and Landing, Operation Secret Santa, and others. And next. And if you're not in the mood to get your entertainment through a Blu-ray or a DVD, and you prefer to interact with it a little bit more, we have video games. Number one and most exciting to me is Tales from Borderlands, Episode 4.
Yeah.
It's out today and tomorrow for mobile, apparently. So yeah, two cons must now venture off planet to save themselves. Next up, we have The Flock. Coming out on Friday on PC. This one sounds pretty interesting. Unique game that switches from capture the flag to hide and seek with each round. It also has a set number of lives that all of the players are a set number of lives for all of the players that ends the story when the numbers run out. So the game itself has an expiration date. So when it runs out, that's when you get the final chunk of the story.
Okay.
So yeah, it sounds like a really interesting multiplayer mechanic that sort of makes it a creepy, dark, demon-y sort of thing.
Okay.
With these demons trying to compete with each other. Next up, we have The Bridge, today out on Xbox One. It was out on various other, I think, computer environments before that. But it's pretty interesting just because it's, if you've ever seen an Escher picture where you are trying to figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah,
like why people are hanging from ceilings and so on.
Yeah, going...
It basically makes that idea into a video game and adds a certain amount of rules of physics to it.
Okay.
And so you can solve the puzzle of each of these environments just by using your knowledge of how physics works in this weird black and white papery realm.
Huh.
Yeah.
But the Xbox doesn't have any games.
I think you and I know differently. But that's all I got for now.
Okay. Let's see. Did Caleb put the... do some comics.
Yes.
Okay, we've got DC. Got Justice League 43. We've got...
Wait, you forgot to say if you want your...
No,
your
I don't do that. Oh, okay. That's... No. moving over to Marvel, we got Star Wars number 8. And we jump to Dark Horse. Got Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 10, number 18. We've got an Image Wolf number 2. And then IDW, we've got Teenage Ninja Turtles number 49.
Sweet.
Then, to wrap us up, we've got some music. We've got new music from Carly Rae Jepsen called from the album Emotion. It's broken up. E-mo-tion.
Okay.
It is the third full-length release for the Canadian pop singer. Features songs co-written by such artists as Ramstein Bakmanglish of Vampire Weekend, okay, Dev Hines, Dan Agro of As Tall as Lions,
okay,
Ariel Richad, Saya, and Peter Svensson of The Cardigans.
Perfect.
There you go.
That's how perfect pronunciation of Svensson.
Yep.
The other ones I can't stand by you.
Yeah, probably not. We've got a new album by The Sword, High Country. It's the fifth full-length release for the Texas heavy metal band. It was produced by Adrian Quesada. We've got a new album from Brianna Morella, All Around Us. The second full-length release for the Seattle artist was recorded in Iceland with producer Alex Somers. And finally, a new album from The Telescope's Hidden Fields, eighth full-length studio release for the British psychedelic rock band led by Stephen Lowry, features a 15-minute track. 15-minute track? That's perfect for the radio.
That's value.
If you got to go to the bathroom, DJ throws that song on. Woo, that's just enough time to go to the bathroom.
Nice. We're going to hunt down that album.
Yes. We need that track. Save it for a little spot. Here you go. If you need to go to the bathroom, put this on. Break the glass. Put this in. In the case of a bathroom emergency, break this glass. Put this CD in.
With a little tiny ball peen hammer.
Yeah. All right.
We plowed through a lot of stuff.
We did.
Which is difficult when it's just two of us instead of three.
The two of us. Well, and
we had the moral support of Backpack.
Of the bag. Again, thank you, bag.
Yes.
Oh, no. You were wonderful.
It's true.
Thank you,
it's
bag.
True.
Thank you, bag. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think unless there's a news story you're dying to get out tonight, like has to get out, I think we'd probably wrap it up.
It was probably not my favorite week of news stories. So
So it kind of works out?
Pretty happy to save them.
All right. Sounds good. Well, that's going to do it for Robots Attack here on KSU. Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We will be back, of course, next week, Monday, from 7 to 9. And just because the show's over doesn't mean you can't still participate or check out previous episodes, all that jazz. If you go to robotsattack.me, it has links to all of our social media pages as well as previous episodes. Yeah. You can listen to there or, download it on
if
iTunes,
you're curious
subscribe,
to see
that
what
sort of thing.
Caleb sounds like instead of Backpack.
Yeah, if you're like, oh, this is first time hearing it, but I want to check out some previous episodes,
We got tons of episodes with Caleb in them.
Tons.
I think they're even labeled. Which ones?
Yeah. In the description, it'll have who was on.
So you can hunt down every single episode.
That one doesn't have Caleb. Not going
to
listen to it.
And become like the biggest Caleb fan ever.
You need to do that.
Between now and the next time we have the show, which I highly recommend.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Then you can come down to the station or send us pictures of your waving a Caleb flag or a picture or something. Send us a picture of your Caleb shrine.
Right.
And you can do that. You can tweet us at Robots Attack Me, or you can post it on our Facebook page, Robots Attack Show, to search for that. Or you can even email us. That's right, email. RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com.
Robots Attack and KSU do not recommend you having an unfortunate relationship with any of its hosts.
Yeah, a little disclaimer at the end. But again, if all of that was super fast, especially since you're driving, you're like, I can't write all this down. I'm listening, but it went by too fast. The only one you really need to know robotsattack.me, because that has everything else, all the links and everything. So just go there and let us know.
It's comprehensive.
Yeah. And if, you know, we want to hear if you've been watching the punchline with us, the watch party.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on the latest episodes and what your theories are, who or whom, you know, each character may or may not be.
Right.
And, you know, maybe help us learn the characters' names. We'll get them by the end of episode 12.
Just keep smacking us on the back of the head.
Yeah. We'll know them by the end of episode 12.
Right.
And be like, well, we're moving on to another show or something. But anyway, thanks again for listening. On behalf of myself and Jason, have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend, and we will catch you next time.
Boy, howdy.
That is right. Let me get to our ending track just to make sure. All right, take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon, Veronica, Misto.